Blog Talk Radio.
Cousin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know what the hell just happened right there. That was bananas,
yeah.
But we are here. Sorry about that. That's not us at all. But all right, let me do this and let me do that. Again, don't know what the heck went on.
It be
right
like
there.
That sometimes, you know, in the world of technology,
like
you know, it fails sometimes.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. The damn sure was not the way that we planned on starting this day off, but hey, it be that way sometimes. So this week, titled the show, Cruise, Urkel, Bay, Lewis III, and the NFL Draft. A whole lot of stuff going on this week. And this one we will dive into. The draft has been interesting. Don't know how everything's going to show. Paxton Lynch is still on the board. We'll get into that later on a more detailed and in-depth level. But for right now, just remember that. That's an interesting development, in my opinion. Also, Cash is still on the board from Duke. So free safety, cornerback, whatever the hell you want to call him, however you want to prop him up. But he's still on the board, which is, I hope he's still available when the Ravens get to their pick. But again, that's something we'll dive into later. Sam, you want to start or you want to let me go in?
Well, I can go ahead and start it, man. One of the biggest things for me that I wanted to talk about today was the endorsement, if you will call it that way, from Putin in regards to Donald Trump. And Donald has gone on record by saying that he feels that he can have a better relationship with Putin than specifically President Obama, but, you know, also other presidents have had with Russia in general. And CNN has gone, you know, went to Russia and actually interviewed some people in regards to how they felt about Donald Trump and, you know, the possible relationship with he and Putin. And it's alarming to me because I think that, well, again, it's been proven that Donald Trump does not have a good grasp on foreign policy. He doesn't really have a plan on foreign policy. He doesn't have experience on foreign policy. So for the comment that he made as far as having a better relationship and a better communication and having, in a sense, like a bro love between he and Putin, spells danger for me because it shows that he's really out of touch on the reasons why we treat Russia or we interact with Russia with a long stick. I don't think that it's a relationship that you want to be a friendly bro love bromance type relationship. Putin has been a terror in his region for a while now, as a prime minister and as the president of Russia, you know, our allies, it wouldn't benefit us in relation to our allies that we have this bromance with Russia. Again, I think he's so busy with trying to degrade the President Obama, that he's really missing the reasons for the sanctions. He's missing the reasons for the relationship with the long stick. And again, to me, it's still a disaster. I'm concerned about it because I lost my thought, but again.
No, don't worry about it.
Not,
you should be concerned. You should be very much concerned because you're right. You don't want to pile up somebody whom is your worst enemy. let's think about this. We are the two remaining superpowers in the world. Now, Russia isn't considered to be a superpower as much. However, it's coming back online as such. You can tell that by the dog and pony shows that have been going on amongst the air forces of Russia, the air forces of the United States of America. You can tell that by the close encounters of the air forces of Russia and the navies of the United States of America. You can tell that by the forward deployments of the Russian submarines and how Russia is aggressively going after bases either directly in the Middle East or very, very close to the Middle East so they can get their mitts in that action and be closer to us as we try to make moves in the Middle East, us being the United States of America, as we try to make moves in the Middle East. You can tell by how Russia is starting to put the screws to a degree to China, and, you know, we have some things to talk about there, but recently, a Russian, I want to say a RC-4 plane did a barrel roll over top of a U.S. aircraft. Now, the aircraft was it was an SU-27, did a barrel roll over RC-135. Now, a RC-135 was flying a reconnaissance mission in international airspace above the Baltic Sea. What is the RC-135, first and foremost? It's a spy plane. It is. It's a spy plane. It's a surveillance plane just like the AWACS. The AWACS is a spy plane. It's labeled as an electronic counterinsurgent airplane, but it's a spy plane. That's what the fuck it does. Both of these planes fly at not extremely high altitudes, but they're nicely up there in the air, and they're just flying along, and they're recording and gathering all types of information as it comes available. Now, the AWACS has a unique mission because it can also do weather gathering while it's up in the air, but it also has a whole lot of electronic surveillance devices on board while it's up there. So it's set in place, set in motion to control the battlefield above the ground. Communications going in, communications going out. And this whole thing, as the story broke, this whole thing reminded me of like dealing with your little brother or your little sister and knowing that they're pissed off for whatever their reasons, they're pissed off. And you know exactly how to get to them, how to aggravate them even more so. So though you're not directly touching them, you're like putting your finger like right in front of their nose, and you know,
right.
They don't
you
touch
aggravate
you.
Aggravate them.
Right, you put your finger right near their shoulder. I ain't touching you. You keep saying shit like that. Now, I understand the point of doing that. I mean, you really need to get ears, eyes, and everything else on the ground as far as Russia is concerned, because it really has been a black hole as of recent. You know, the Cold War died down. It was totally frostbitten, and it was over for the most part. So the assumption was, hey, you know, we have bigger fish to fry, China, North Korea, things going on in the Middle East because, you know, Bush is a fucking idiot, but, you know, whatever. So that's where the attention was turned to. Those who know need to understand and know Putin, like Trump, are very much instigated, and they need to instigate, they need to flex their muscle to make those whom are insecure feel like they're safe. So Putin is playing to the old Russian money that remembers the days of the USSR. That's who he's playing to. He's not playing to the kids. He doesn't give a damn about the kids. The kids don't want, most of the kids don't want much to do with this shit. He's playing to that old Russian money. He's like, you know, let's get our pride back. Let's take it back. Hitler. Let's be honest. These are the same tactics that he used in order to position Germany the way that Germany got positioned before Second World War. But that's what he's doing. He's let's flex our military muscle. He's put a lot of money back into the military budget. The military budget was zero to nothing, relatively speaking, for a good number of years. And now he's boosting it back up, bringing it back to levels that we have not seen since the height of the Cold War. So you need to be concerned because, no, that's not smart.
And thank you for helping me bring my point out. And that's exactly, I mean, that's really what I was trying to say was, is about who he's playing to. And for Trump to fall into that, that's setting up this a Hitlerist alliance between Donald Trump. If you listen to everything that Donald Trump is saying about what he wants to do in America with the deportation of the immigrants and putting up walls to stop immigrants from entering the United States, and if you listen to everything he's saying about women and minorities in general, and then you compare that to what Putin has done in Russia, and the way he's attacked his weaker neighbors, that again, that spells tremendous danger for our country in regards to our relationships with our alliances, our allies. When you align yourself with somebody like that, and you're pretty much making a deal with the devil, in my opinion, it doesn't bode well for us as a nation. When you have, again, you say the Cold War really has kind of frozen over, but it's starting to thaw out in a sense when Putin is banned, they're developing their military, and you, Donald Trump, then say, hey, look, I'll have a better relationship. President Obama has done a great job at keeping that close relationship in the sense that, okay, I can come to Russia, we can have a sit down, we can chat, but hey, let it be known that we ain't boys. Let it be known that if need be, we will flex our muscle, but I'd rather not because, like you said, we have other things to worry about. We have bigger fish to fry, but Russia has always been on our radar and under wraps in the sense that they're not pushing us, we're not pushing them. If Donald Trump goes in there and starts this relationship with this guy, one false move with Donald Trump is going to spell hell for our country.
Well, the other side of that is who would support us? Knowing that...
Right, that's what I'm saying. With our allies, it's going to kill our relationship with our allies.
Knowing that we walked into the fire by electing this idiot to the highest office in the land outside of the Supreme Court, because let's be real, the Supreme Court is really the highest office in the land. They don't ever get knocked out the box. They got to die or resign in order to leave. So let's be honest, that's really the highest office in the land, but whatever. We walked in knowingly, seeing this fool, knowing what he wants to do, because he's clearly said it. There's no mistaking any of this. Yet, and still, as a nation, as a nation, the popular vote via the Electoral College, he won and moved forward. Duh. Nah, you know, you pick the fight with the bully, you getting your ass whipped. We ain't getting in that, you know, unless we absolutely have to. You dig what I'm saying? So why would they do that? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. But Putin isn't stupid. He's crazy. He really is. And as I said, he's putting the screws to China to a degree because he's coming up, getting stronger, and he's looking at them like, yo, you used to have my back. I need you to have my back again. You know, North Korea's on board. I need you all to get back on board. This romance you have with America, this shit needs to stop. We need to do a couple things different if we're going to shore this thing up. So, you know, they've taken more aggressive moves. The Chinese are out militarizing islands that they had previously not touched in years. They're out making man-made islands and militarizing those things. Just last week, they denied a U.S. carrier and its accompanying vessels denial to port in Hong Kong. So this is the shit that folks need to pay attention to. I hate to think of it like that. I hate to actually say these words, but these are the pieces that when you look, you need to start getting a little bit nervous.
Oh, yeah.
You need to start paying attention to what your wannabe elected officials are saying and what your elected officials are saying. You need to understand that the debt ceiling should not be a fight. A lot of that money goes to defense. And though we do spend a shitload of money, more than any other industrialized nation in the world, 20 times more, last I remember, we need it, because when you look at our allies, there's no one as strong as us. And we would every last one of them to jump in the fight, if there ever is another fight, in order to be successful. Because you have smaller armies that are just as tough, if not tougher, than a lot of our allies. So that's kind of a wash. But then it's just us against the world. That's tough. America's bad, but goddamn, we're one country. Right? They're one country. We're talking about getting Chinese involved in this. There are billions of people there.
You're talking about getting the Russians involved, millions and millions upon people there. This is a big deal. Keep your eyes on the prize, folks. Keep your asses off the Kardashians, off of Jay-Z and Beyonce's fight, and the Real Housewives of the Potomac, or the haves and the haves, well, all them shits. You need to focus on what the hell is going on in the world, because it's not looking pretty. It really isn't. And these are the times when folks can contract cancer, though. You know, that used to be the CIA's move to get rid of people. These are times when yoga start coming up with cancer and start falling off. Like, damn, how'd that man get cancer? I don't even know, because he was healthy as an ox a couple of years ago. Yeah, you got a little too big for your britches, dog, so we had to get rid of your ass, you know.
Hey, but you know
truly.
What? This is something that you bring that up, but, you know, another story that's been developing is about the chemtrails that are being put into our atmosphere. You know, and mm-hmm. when you compare and contrast, you know, these stories like Donald Trump and stuff like that, you know, they just beating up the airwaves and stuff like that. Meanwhile, you have this background noise that's happening with the chemtrails. You know, people have to be versatile enough to really dive into everything that's going on and not be so blind, or have the blinders on or have so much tunnel vision that you only focus on one thing that's going on in the media. Because this has been a development story over like the last week or two, but when you have something like Trump that's going on, stories like this fall by the wayside. I don't think I've only seen one mention of this on the news as far as the chemtrails are concerned. Everything else has been, of course, popped up through social media. I did some research, you know, found some more sites, and next thing I know, it's about, you know, almost 100 different stories out there about these chemtrails that have been going on for decades now.
Well, you know, most people don't understand what that is. And, you know, but I would say I remember being told, well, that's just a plane that flew through a cloud and that just brought it out. Really?
Yeah.
That's what that is? And it's just staying up there that long? No. You know,
you write it off.
Right. Exactly. But is it really that, or is it something different? And come to find out that this is a way that governments for decades
have been forcing their citizens to get immunized without them even knowing it. It's a way to change the weather patterns if need be. You know, it's who knows what can be done. I'm reading the article this week about somebody was predicting. I can't remember off the top of my head because I didn't bring this up because I didn't think we were going to bring it up today. To be honest with you, but someone's predicting that Americans would all have ID chips by 2017. I'm like, yo, that's fucking 7 months from now. How is that even possible? Well, you know, when you think about nanotechnology, though, a chemtrail could be set up. Nanotechnology, that chip can be in that chemtrail, and we're just breathing that shit in. So, you know, RFID, you know, here you go, boom. You had no idea. You just breathed it in, just like you would. You can't walk around not breathing, right?
Okay, and the crazy thing about that is one of the headliners in this particular story, and like I said, it wasn't something that was on our schedule, but it just kind of coincided with, you know, media and being distracted by things. But NASA is a corporation. It's not a government agency, and NASA is at the head of the table with these chemtrails. So we have a private corporation, or well, public corporation in a sense, that's at the head of the table with these chemtrail missions, and the government isn't saying anything about it. The media isn't really saying anything about it.
But why would they not be? Them motherfuckers need sponsorship. They need to make money.
Yeah.
I'm right. Don't they need to make money?
Yeah.
They need to get funds to go to Mars and Jupiter. Look, Hubble was only supposed to last 10 years, right? I remember being in middle school, and I will never forget this, because there was a young lady that lived in my neighborhood who is fine as a goddamn glass of wine, and of her high school, she spent – her work-study program in high school, she spent working on the Hubble program, you know, and she was just proud. She was like, yo, this is going to be off the chain. This joint is going to launch. It's going to be up there for like 10 years, blah, 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 blah. Motherfucker, I've been out of high school almost 30 years. You know what I'm saying? I've been out of high school for almost 30 years. This was when I was in middle school. You dig what I'm saying to you? So this joker has gone well beyond the life expectancy that anybody ever thought it would have. Yet it's still up there. How is that? How is that even possible? You got Rover here. You got this doing this landing over here, this thing over here doing the landing over there. On Facebook the other day, I saw a blurb from some organization talking about Mars missions may be possible as soon as 2019. Really? That shit doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. The study after study, launch after launch, trial and error. For a statement to be made that bold, that means it's a hell of a lot closer than you would think. So, this didn't happen in the past five years.
What that means is already been done, but we're not going to hear about it officially until 2017. That's what that means.
Right, because we want to perfect it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, oh my gosh, man, this is crazy. That's like going into another story that I read a few weeks ago, where some astronauts from, I want to say, the Soviet Union, kind of fell off the face of the Earth. Like their history is like non-existent anymore. They were like taking out of photos and stuff like that. Like Photoshop has been around for like at least 30 years, maybe longer. You know, but we average citizens, we just got a hold of it over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. But and these astronauts, you know, had been on certain missions, and they may or may not have made it back. And these are the things that NASA, you know, in a sense, they have that privilege of doing. This is a corporation. It's not a government agency. So people volunteered to take part in these missions. So it would not be, in my opinion, be that far-fetched that missions have been taking place on Mars, have been unsuccessful, and we won't hear about it, but we'll see the success of it. We'll perfect it,
but
people will lose their lives.
You hear about it. You'll hear about it. But you won't believe it. You know why? Because it's in the movie.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously,
yeah.
You'll hear about it. You won't believe it because it's in the movie. And then when the reality snaps and you're like, oh, damn, that shit, they actually made that shit happen. Dog, where do you think Hollywood gets his ideas from?
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Written scripts, so, yeah.
Right, and vice versa. Yeah. Where do you think the government gets a lot of their ideas from? Come on, this shit ain't hard. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But and I was thinking about this just this morning, believe it or not. The thought in my mind this morning, and I was going to tweet it out. I'm going to tweet it out later, actually. Yeah, I'll tweet it out. Why do you not think most people read? I hold that most people don't read because they don't want to know the truth. Because once you know better, most people choose to do better. But if you're in ignorance, you can continue to exist. So,
hey, I take extreme offense to that. I don't read
because
it's boring as hell. I hate
reading.
But
you do read.
You
have to read.
Yeah, I do read. I do read. You know what I'm saying? But
you have
to.
Because you couldn't do this unless you read.
Yeah you don't.
You couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. Unless you read, unless you understood those abstract ideas of this actually fits here, but this hasn't happened yet. But as soon as that happens,
yeah.
Then, oh, yeah, they're going to come together. You dig what I'm saying to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, but, no, I agree. I agree with you to a certain degree. You know, when you actually see it, you know, in a sense, in black and white on paper. And when I'm talking about reading, I'm not talking about reading, you know, Zane novels and even something that's, you know, as good as The Audacity of Hope, you know, by President Barack Obama. But when you read the white papers from different companies and different corporations, when you actually go onto NASA websites and read transcripts, when you actually go to, specific sites and research specific topics, when you actually do the research and you actually start reading it and you see the history of things, that's when that reality starts setting in. You know, a lot of people get caught up in, again, like I said, reading, you know, the freaking the Hobbit novels and the daggone, novels that are irrelevant to what's going on in our society. They get caught up in that. And, you know, you're not spending enough time actually reading things that are relevant in your life today, and it's going to impact your future. Those are the things that people really need to be paying attention to. The white papers go a long way if you actually read it. History tells the story of what's going to happen in our future if you actually read it and pay attention to it. But most people don't, like you said, because they don't want to know the truth. The truth is scary, man. People much rather sit and live in a bubble and just, you know, go to work, come home, cook dinner, watch Love and Hip Hop, go to sleep, wake up, go to work, come home, watch, couples therapy, cook dinner, go there. They much rather do that. It's safer that way. Mentally, it's safer.
Hmm.
Yeah, I talked to a partner of mine the other day, and me and him, we talk every day, two or three times a day, and he talked about the turmoil, mental turmoil he goes through when he recognized the truth. And every single day, he's mentally destroying himself because he's thinking about it all day, all night, can't go to sleep. You know, he's not stressed about it necessarily, but he's always thinking about, you know, how he can impact, you know, the community and how he can impact, you know, his life and how he can kind of curb the future in his immediate environment. And that's because he recognized the truth. He looked, he read it, he understood it. He was able to comprehend what he was reading. And he was met with, he was faced with the truth. And it was scary. It was scary as hell to him. But most people aren't willing to take that chance, aren't willing to take that risk.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. They don't. They don't want to step outside of that comfort zone. But what's easier isn't always better.
Yeah.
And too often we fall into the trap of doing what's easy versus what's necessary and or what's better. So until we wake up, we will continuously, I should say, fall into these traps that we're following in and deal with these idiots that we're dealing with. Like, let's go to California for a moment. So, breaks in the middle of the week, this racist, sexist texting that's going on between police officers in San Francisco and the fact that they're doing this stuff on duty, talking about the very citizens that they're supposed to be protecting. So not the commissioner, but the chief of police out there, he's trying to get over this. He's strong PR campaign, trying to make things happen. And then, in the midst of all that, boom, a 9-year veteran of the force, Officer Saqib Aslan, gets arrested for perjury and filing a false police report. This joker goes and uses his position as a police officer at the DMV to get a confidential status for the license plate on one of his brother's cars. Now, what is that all about? Because I didn't fucking know. Like, okay, so this status is allowed for law enforcement officers to protect their privacy and to safeguard them against being harassed or harmed at their home. Makes sense to me. You know, because cop pisses you off, you see him or her one day when they're off duty, you write down their license plate number, you go on the internet, you do your due diligence. Somebody, somewhere, then put up a website or an app to tell you everything you need to damn know. Good and bad thing about the internet, let's be real about that. So, in order to protect the confidentiality of those whom are sworn to protect and serve us, most, you know, DMV has said, no, we're not going to give out that information. We're not even going to list that information. There you go. So this joker, as I said, he gets the hook up, for the most part, for his brother-in-law. He's asked about it. He says, nah, I ain't do that. Okay. Yeah. Come bites him in the ass, and now dust is kicked up again in San Francisco. Another scandal hitting that police department. But, you know, California in general didn't have a good week because your boy Donald Trump was in town. Now, you hit me over the head. You hit me. He's like, yo, cuz, did you see how his motorcade got pushed into a ditch or something like that, right?
Yeah, man. They're coming at that dude, man. Like, this guy, but somehow, no, it's not somehow. The reaction he's getting in the way of the riots, the protests and stuff like that is actually giving him the power and energy that he needs, because he's actually sitting back saying, see, I told y'all they crazy. We need to get rid of these folks. We need to make America great again. And everybody, yeah, make America great again, blah, 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 blah. But they're coming at him. They're getting closer and closer to Donald Trump. And, yeah, they actually, you know, attempted to push his motorcade off the side of the road hours into the night. You had fights, protests. I mean, people getting taken away in ambulance. The further along his campaign goes, these things are getting more violent. And eventually, you know, you're going to have somebody who actually is able to reach out and touch Donald Trump. You know, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. But he can stand to get his teeth knocked out of his mouth, you know, and maybe once, you know, didn't survive it. You know what I'm saying?
They're probably veneers. They're probably not as real deep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not advocating violence or anything like that. You know, I'm about to sound like him. No, I don't advocate violence, but, hey, he probably deserved it, you know. But, yeah, man, I mean, they're getting live. They're getting really live, and I'm not going to say I feel bad for him, because he definitely deserves everything that's coming his way. Because he's not being presidential. You know, as a president, even if you feel like, hey, this is good, you know, we need this, you don't and fight it. You don't, you know, sit there and advertise the violence and talk in such sexist ways that put women down and, you know, divide our nation by race even more than it's already divided. But he's doing it. He's been successful as far on a campaign trail. But I think as a society, people are really going to come at him. And I think I've said it before, I really see something bad happening to him. If he's elected president, I really see some bad things happening to him and his family. And that's unfortunate because it's his mom that's going to cause his family turmoil.
I think he'll get a pass because of the people around him. They're surrounding him to protect him. So I think he'll get a pass, to be honest with you. He needs to go away. he just needs to go away. The best thing for the world right now is for Donald Trump just to go away. I'm not saying die. I'm just talking about just go away. Just lose and be done with it. Look, y'all. All right, it's July, but April Fools. Look, I was just playing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was just kidding.
You know, look. I really think that Kasich should get all my supporters and all my delegates so he can win this thing because he's the best candidate. And then I saw a meme the other day saying Trump isn't going to win. He's a ploy to make everyone feel better about the loser that they put in office. So, hey, that's I can see that. I really can see that, you know, because there really are no – I've said this 20 times already on the show, maybe 50. The best candidates in this race are at the bottom.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders and Kasich.
Yeah.
Those are the best candidates in the race. Bob Kasich, Bernie Sanders. Unfortunately, they're dragging ass. They're at the bottom. So we're going to get with the leftovers. That's what we're going to get. I have nothing against Hillary. I think she was an awesome Secretary of State. I don't know her personally, so I can't say she's a nice lady, but I would much rather a second transformational leader such as Bernie Sanders come along and do what Donald Trump says he wants to do. Make America great again. And I'm not talking about the biggest, baddest bully on the block. I'm talking about making us solid, bringing single-payer health care, bringing university to all, access to university to all. That's what I'm talking about making America great again, making that shit happen, making people who are in the middle class, I am one of them, be okay. You know, getting them to a point where it's okay. You don't have to go out here and kill yourself and work 100 hours a week. You don't have to go out here and kill yourself and work 3-4 jobs. You can go out here, you can work one job. That job should pay you what you're worth, and you should be okay. That way you go home, you spend time with your family, keeping them off the streets, keeping them out of trouble, more often than not, because, you know, we make them. We don't make up their damn minds. Our kids are our kids, and them fuckers are going to go wherever they're going to go. But you being home gives you a better opportunity for them not to be in the streets, for them to stay out of trouble, so on and so forth. That's what I mean, and that's what I feel when I hear the statement, make America great again, shit like that.
Most Americans who hear, most Americans who hear that statement, make America great again, they immediately go to terrorism, you know, and putting up the wall and the border and stuff like that. People forget so much about the economy and how we were great on exports, you know, and how strong our economy was, how our exports were great compared to our imports, how we were the world's leader in so many different things, so many different developments. They don't see those things. All they hear when they say make America great again is, yeah, put up the wall. Let's get them out of here. Go back to Africa. Like, that's what they – it is mind-boggling because those same idiots who make those statements are – the same idiots who are on that fine line between middle class and poverty.
Right.
building a wall is going to cost money. Guess what? You're going to pay for that wall. Idiots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, the imports are greater than the exports right now. Guess who has to foot that bill? You do. But, hey, let's put the wall up. I'll pay the money to put the wall up. Meanwhile, I can't, you know, afford my health care. You know, I'm not taking my medicine like I'm supposed to, so I'm dying sooner than later. You know, my kids can't afford to go to college, so guess what? I'm working 2 or 3 jobs, so I'm killing myself that way. But we got this wall up. We don't have to worry about these Muslims coming here no more.
Mm-hmm.
So let's you know, cut out, you know, let's border our country up, you know, and lock our country up so we can sit here and kill ourselves in peace.
Working against oneself and voting against oneself's own interests is crazy.
Okay.
It is the true definition of insanity. It is a waste of one's time. There are other ways and faster ways for you to cut yourself off from society and or, as you just said, kill yourself. If you want to do that, that is your prerogative. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of something that is going to really prop up not only my generation, but the generations to follow, because they are the ones who are going to take care of me. It is the circle of life. You know, you put yourself in good standings with your children so that later on they put you in a nice nursing home versus, you know, whack a shack a lack. And you haven't been seen, changed, anything like that for 7 days because you wanted to be an asshole to your kids their entire damn lives, you know. So, but speaking of the leftovers, so your boy Ted Cruz did something that I don't think anyone has ever done before. He named a presidential running mate before he tied up the nomination. Now, I don't know about you, but that is, in my opinion, what you call putting the cart in front of the horse. Because how the hell are you going to have somebody running with you and you don't even know if your ass going to be running? But Colleen Arena wants to stay in the public eye for whatever her reason, so she came out and agreed to this bullshit. And here she is walking hand in hand with Ted Cruz as they march toward California. It's a good move in a way because California has 172 delegates. That's a lot of delegates. The total number to snag the nomination on the Republican side is 1237. Well, Trump right now has 996. He's right on the cusp of doing that. He can go to sleep, wake up. If he snags this 172, he can go to sleep, wake up, trip, and get the other number of delegates that he needs to snag the nomination. So the way California is structured, 13 delegates automatically go to whomever the statewide winner is. That's who they go to. But the vast majority of the delegates are awarded according to whoever wins the 53 congressional districts in the state of California. And they get, the winner of those congressional districts get 3 delegates per district win. And that's how you come up with that figure of 172 as a total. Now, Kali Fiorina ran against Barbara Boxer back in 2010. And she lost by 10 points. She had a 10-point margin of losing in this case. But she got the most votes of anyone that ran that year. Now, you got to understand that she got the most votes, but that doesn't mean that every district voted Republican for her. You dig? Some of them still went Democrat because California is a Democratic state. So for Cruz, this is good. This means that she has the name recognition. She knows the ground. She can put people in places that he just doesn't have a feel for. It makes sense on his part.
Yeah.
It's a stretch on his part, But it does make sense. You know, looking at it from that perspective, I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that. I see where you're going. I don't know why she agreed to it, though, to be real. I'm like, that's a little ass bad. Is she the Sarah Palin of 2016?
I don't know. Man. Oh, no, guys.
I'm just saying. I don't get it. Why would you agree to this?
Please put some respect on that lady's name. You cannot compare her. Don't compare her single bag on.
Did you say put some respect?
Please put some respect on her name.
Oh, my God.
Sarah Palin, man.
Oh, my God.
No. Come on, Playboy.
All right, so. For those of you who are not aware, Birdman is a rapper. He had an interview on The Breakfast Club earlier this week. So he comes to The Breakfast Club with what's her name? Nina Lee, something Lee. Charlamagne the God.
Angela Yee.
DJ Envy and Charlamagne the God, and he goes in on Charlamagne. He's like, look, the first thing I got to say to all y'all, one, two, three,
all three of y'all,
y'all need to put some respect on my name. This man said respect with a K, not a T,
on national radio.
Radio. Yes. And he didn't say it once. He didn't say it twice. He said it several times. So he goes in hard against Charlamagne because Charlamagne has a habit of running his mouth. If you're not familiar, if you kind of sort of know the name, think of Wendy Williams. Charlamagne was Wendy Williams' right-hand man when Wendy was on Hot 97. For you all who are passed through New York once upon a time or aren't familiar with The Breakfast Club, you may be more familiar with the Wendy Williams show as it aired on in New York for a good number of years. And this is before her television show. This is radio, her radio show. Mm-hmm. This is what really pushed her over the top. Wendy and Charlamagne, together, the chain. Off the chain. They were truly two peas in a pod. Don't know what happened to break them up. I don't know if she just wanted all the attention and the money for herself, but those two cats together, off the chain. Now, Charlamagne is originally from South Carolina. He does not...
Monk's Corner, South Carolina, to be exact.
Thank you. He does not publicize that, though. You know what I'm saying? Normally, he does not. He will say yes, but he does not normally publicize that. He usually considers himself from Brooklyn. I'm not mad about that. There's a lot of people that feel that way. It's cool. It's cool with me. If you don't know, DJ Premier is from Houston. Primo is from Houston. He's originally from Houston. But you would never have thought that had I not told you and you not know. Again, not mad about that. It's not where you're from, it's where you at. Like Rakim has famously said and laid down. So with this, during this interview, which was a very short interview, by the way, he said what he said. Charlamagne fired back at him. Like, yo, why you going off on the radio, guy? Did you say that to Ross? Did you say that to Trick Daddy?
Trick Daddy.
He said, look, I'm saying this to you, all three of y'all. When you say my name, put some respect on my name. And they didn't come to an agreement, so he simply walked out.
He said, are we done or are we finished?
Oh,
which
yeah.
To me, it's synonymous. Are we done or are we finished?
Are we finished?
Then he got up. And the funny thing about it, man, when I see stuff like this, I go back to Ice-T line that he said in an interview a couple of years ago. And he called the interview, in this particular line, he said, the pussification of manhood. And when I saw this interview, man, I immediately thought about this because, first of all, you're walking there with his entourage. You're going off on a woman, first of all. Then these are radio personalities. These ain't some street dudes on your level, you know, questioning you or coming at you. These are radio personalities. Charlamagne, who admit he ain't a thug, he ain't trying to be a thug. He actually was on TV or caught on camera before running from some guys to try to jump him. He's an intelligent guy. He's not some idiot that's going to go out there and put himself in harm's way. But he's a radio personality. And he'll be the first to say, hey, look, I'm not a thug. I'm a radio guy. Why are you coming at me? I'm a radio guy. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get no points about coming at me because, like, I'm not about that life. But you come through the door and you start going in on this woman. But then you sit down with your arms crossed and you start pouting like a little, like a baby. No pun intended, but you know what I'm saying? You're pouting like a baby. I ain't going to say it no more. Put some respect on my name, playboy. And of course it goes viral. There's 1,000 memes out there. And some of these bad boys, it's 1,000 memes and spoofs out there. That's hilarious. That really shows the essence of how much bitch assness was associated with this particular interview, man. And then, like I said, he says, are you done or are you finished? And he storms out of there. What is it? He picks his glasses up emphatically, you know, in my Kevin Hart voice, I'm out. And he leaves, you know. But then he comes back later on and he apologizes. Well, he didn't come back on the show, but then he released an apology saying he shouldn't have done all that. But you don't go in on somebody like that, then come back and apologize like everything is cool. Like, social media
nobody has
is taking this thing. Yeah, but no. He did.
No, he had to, because the label was like, yo, no, you can't do that. Because then that shorts us our hits. So now we can't hit our Scantron hits. We can't, you know what I'm saying, because you want to act the ass, because they can then come and say, well, we don't want anything. We want to limit Universal. Anything from Universal, we want to limit. Anything that he's associated with, we want to limit. They could go as far as anything from Universal, or they could stop and go as short as anything he's associated with, we want to limit. So you're telling us we need to give you, let's say, 21 hits between 3 and 7. We're only going to give you 4. Sit. He want to act ass like that, we can go ass too. Now, that messes with their money.
Yeah.
Because every time that song gets played, somebody gets paid. But you take it from 21 to 4, somebody's getting shorted. No, he had to. He had to, dog. Absolutely. He had to. Without a doubt, he had to.
No, I definitely understand the economics of it, but on the street cred aspect of it, you know, you don't come on to the show, go in on these people like that.
Right.
And then
walk
remember,
it back.
Oh, yeah. Then you remember, oh man,
right.
I am a businessman. Let me do the business aspect of it and apologize. Because again, social media already took this thing and went off on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And again, you know, look, my thing is, dude, you're sitting there with your arms crossed and you're pouting. Like, come on, man. But he ain't going to trick Maddie like that. He ain't going to Rick Ross like that. He damn sure doesn't go to Jay-Z and nobody like that. I mean, many people have come at Birdman calling him gay, how he like to kiss boys and stuff like that. Coming nobody but Charlamagne. Come on, man. Charlamagne, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee. Like, come on, man. Really?
Cats don't have any problem fighting other cats. It's the dogs they have problems with.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Well, getting back to the political side. So the GOP are sitting around eating their own. Bush comes out this week, first interview since he dropped out the race. And his statement is, there's a possibility that Trump will not get 50% of the first ballot. And if he does not do that, there are a whole lot of people who don't believe he's the proper guy. Now, he has endorsed Ted Cruz, and he stuck by that. He went on to talk about the mistakes in the campaign. There were his own look, he's wearing the big boy drawers. He's taking all this stuff on his shoulders and saying, look, it was my fault. The buck stops with me, fine. The people around me are good people. I allow bad decisions to be made. I made bad decisions myself. Hey, it wasn't my time. That's okay. People are more interested in celebrity this go around than they are with sustenance, whatever. But to, in addition to that, Boehner came out this week and called Ted Cruz Lucifer in disguise.
Is there any love?
Is there any love in the Republican camp? I mean, seriously, dude, Priebus got to be sitting around like, yo, I am so glad. I will be so glad when this is over because this whole Republican Party chairperson, national, nah, I got to get out of this. You know what I'm saying? That dude got me sitting around like, oh, my God, I got it. Didn't they hear what I just said when we were in Florida? I just said we need unity. I just said we need to stand behind one another, push one another up, and these motherfuckers trying to drown one another. Left and right, left.
They sound like a whole bunch of undisciplined, unsupervised kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have a group of undisciplined kids, they know exactly what to do. They know what right and wrong is. But as soon as mommy and daddy leave the room, what they start doing? They start smacking each other in the face. They start picking at each other. Like you said earlier, they start putting their fingers at the nose and, don't hit me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? Like, they start name calling.
I ain't touching.
Mom and daddy come back around. No, I didn't say that. No, he lying. Then you got Lion Ted. You got Lucifer in disguise. You got, Donald Hitler. Yeah, you got all these different names that's going around in the Republican Party. But the thing about it, they're successful at it so far, man. This is crazy. But, yeah, he straight called his man Lucifer in disguise with a straight face. You know, and Boehner don't smile much anyway, but, you know, straight face, no backtracking, no apologies as of yet. Straight up, nah, I ain't rocking with yo. He Lucifer in disguise.
Not at all.
That's
the most
right
miserable person. He's the most miserable person I've ever worked with. I'm like, God damn. He was like, tell me how you really feel about the man. I mean, seriously, dude.
It's disgusting, man. It's disgusting that these grown men, are acting like this. But that's where we at, man.
The disgusting part gets worse because Dennis Hastert, former House Speaker, got 15 months in prison, plus he has to pay $250,000 in restitution to a victim's fund, 2 years supervised release after his prison term for sexually abusing young boys while a teacher in Illinois. Former House Speaker, sexual abuse of young boys while he was a teacher in Illinois, and he had a hush fund set up paying these cats out. So when the money stopped, somebody got the squawking. They got the snitching,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whom has said in the past that he believes that sex offenders should be killed. They should get the death penalty. But he's getting 15 months. So he'll probably serve about 5, maybe 9.
I'd say 3. 3 months.
Maybe 9. And then he'll be out. Mm-hmm. So this cat is when you're in power and you know where the bodies are buried, stuff like that don't happen to you. You know what I'm saying? So, hey. And it's not all sunshine on the opposite side of the aisle either. On the dim side, after losing 4 out of 5 East Coast states, Bernie Sanders announced midweek that he was laying off more than 200 workers. The calendar is coming closer to the end, and there are not that many states going forward. It's the natural evolution of every campaign, said Jeff Weaver, Bernie Sanders' campaign manager. The numbers just don't support Bernie winning. At this point, Bernie is at 1,400 delegates. Hillary is at 2,176. They need 2,383 in order to win. So, again, like Trump, if Trump pulls off California, Hillary Clinton could go to sleep, wake up, bump her damn toe, and bump into enough delegates to clinch the nomination very soon. She's only 100 and – no, she's – yeah. Yeah, well, it's 197. She's 100. She needs 197, and that's it. She has the nomination. So yeah, this is she's really close. She's really close, and it was time, and it was the right time. I'm not mad at Brother Bernie. I think he ran a hell of a campaign. Let's remember his announcement for running for president was very small. But he gained momentum and traction very soon. He was an obsolete senator from New Hampshire, who is no longer such. If you were not really in the political realm or circles, you had no idea who Bernie Sanders was. He has definitely made himself a household name now. It would not totally shock me if Hillary tapped him to be her vice president, to be honest with you.
I was
put aside their
that,
differences.
Did you think that was going to happen?
Yep, put aside their differences and actually run a unified ticket. It would be extremely good for both of them, to be honest with you, because he could push a lot of things that she wouldn't necessarily want to get involved in.
Yeah.
And he would be extremely effective at doing so. So I would not rule that out all the way. They have had a bitter fight, but stranger things have happened.
No,
I'm not totally ruling out Castro though.
Yeah.
Julian Castro.
I don't think the country is ready for Castro to be in office.
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
You know.
I ain't he Mexican?
Oh,
yeah, I can hear it right now.
Check
his
birth certificate. Is he related to that guy Fidel down there?
Yeah, that Fidel down there. That's his brother there. I know he is. That's his brother there. That Fidel right there. That's one of his sons or something like that. No.
All the Castro's related somehow.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But you know what? I think that you know, a unified ticket between Sanders and Clinton would definitely bode well for them individually and for the Democratic Party
mm-hmm.
collectively. I think it was short enough to lock in Clinton being elected as president. Either way it went. If Bernie was the front runner and you know he elected Hillary to be his running mate. Well, selected Hillary to be his running mate, it will bode well for the Democratic Party regardless. I'm kind of nervous if Hillary decides to choose somebody else. I'm really nervous about Trump and the steam that he has going into the general. Again, a lot of these people out there are really idiotic, and they're supporting this man, and it's growing, and it's... It's scary, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I really think that, but the Democratic Party haven't been as cutthroat as the Republican Party has been. Yes, Hillary Clinton
never
and Bernie Sanders have had, they've had some heated debates. You're racing to be the president of the United States. So no, it's not going to be a clean, you know, oh, I love Bernie, Bernie's great, you know what I'm saying? Then you might as well go ahead and give him the ticket now if you're going to say all that, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pull up some stuff, and they're going to debate, and they're going to, you know, emphatically challenge things that you say. There's nothing that says that they can't work together. And
mm-hmm.
once the election happens, all that stuff's going to go out the window. Nobody's really going to look back and say, oh, my God, like, remember when you said. Most times, a few people say it, but it doesn't get noticed across the board a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't see why that can't happen and why they can't be successful at it. I think that's a good plan. I think that Bernie Sanders staying on the trail is actually going to help Hillary Clinton and is going to, you know, prove great if she does select him to be her running mate. I think for that he has to stay on the trail to continue the campaign against Donald Trump. I don't think they're really campaigning against each other at this point. I think they're really campaigning against Donald Trump and setting up a general election for the Democratic Party. That's my opinion. And I think it's going to work.
Now, as far as other potentials, Tim Kaine, senator from Virginia, says that he's not looking for another post as of right now. He's really in love with his job. He really likes it. That's coming out of his mouth right now, but we all know that things are subject to change. If you remember him, and if you don't remember him, he's the former governor of Virginia. He now serves on the Senate Armed Services and Foreign Relations Committees. Again, right now there's a huge gap between the number of pledged delegates that Bernie and Hillary have. It's about 776 different plus in favor of Clinton. Now, on to more domestic affairs. Let's go down to Texas for a moment, because this really caught me and actually pissed me the fuck off. And it's a lot to get through, because as we talked about earlier, so let me just get through this and then we'll go into it on the other side. Now, San Antonio, Thursday night, the Bexar County Sheriff's Department responded to a call about hearing a child crying in the backyard, in a backyard. They, using the ladder, they looked over the fence and found a 2-year-old chained to the ground as if he was a dog. There was no slack in the chain. His pants were down. You could tell he had been in that position for a while. And then a short distance away, a 3-year-old girl who was tied down, who was tied to a door with a dog leash, who looked exhausted, according to James Keith, the spokesman for the sheriff's office. Inside, they later found 6 children between the ages of 10 months and 13 years old. No adult was on site, nor to be seen. Later, they arrested Purusha Phillips, 34, and charged her with injury of a child by omission with serious bodily injury and injury to a child by omission with bodily injury. CPS came in, took the kids away. The girl is in intensive care at Children's Hospital of San Antonio. One of the children has a fractured right arm and wrist. The others suffered with superficial injuries, abrasions, and scarring. It was believed that a bootleg daycare was being run out of the home. Those allegations have not been substantiated as of yet, but these kids are going to be fucked up for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Their trust issues are going to be immeasurable. I don't know what parent or parents would allow their child or their children to be subjected to this type of treatment. But this is not new nor news. Let's be real with that. You know, we've said that 1,000,001 times on the show. Nothing's new nor news. You know, sadly, this shit happens all the time. The difference is the time in which we live, and these things seem closer and more intimate because we do live in a 24-hour news cycle. You have a television/radio/mini computer in your pocket, most of us at least, every day, 365. It's not something that many of us turn off. It stays with us from the time that we wake up until the time we go to bed. And when we go to bed, we usually put it right next to us on the nightstand. Very few people put it across the room, anything like that, just in case somebody calls or you get a text message in the middle of the night, whatever. However, this is not excusable, and I hope that she and whomever else may have been involved in this are punished to the fullest extent of the law, as they deserve to be. And I pray for peace to come about those children, for real, because that shit was horrible. As I read it, And it was like, are you seriously? Nobody saw any of this or knew anything. If it was truly a daycare center, the parents were so desperate for care that they allowed their children to come home looking like they were described in the report, really. I pray for them, man. I pray for all of them because that's some shit.
You know, this kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier today about the bubble. You know, there are a lot of things that people see or think they know what's going on, but they choose to ignore it because they don't want that to be a reality. You know, it's hard. You know, it's the easy left or the hard right scenario. It's easy for you to be like, I think something's going on over there, but you know what? That ain't none of my damn business. Let me stay here in my house because I don't want the reporters coming to my house asking me questions. My house ain't clean. My head not done. My kid. A whole bunch of different reasons on why or excuses on why we don't want to intervene when we see something is wrong. You know, I'm convicted. I walk over a piece of paper. I can't take two more steps without picking the paper up. I'm like, oh, man, I can't read that there. You know what I'm saying? I was in Walmart like a month ago, and these kids, you know, bum rushed to Walmart on the little carts and stuff like that, and was running into people's carts and stuff. And I watched it for like a minute. And I was thinking that security was gonna come and say something to them, but I'm like, no, I can't. You know, I can't wait no longer. I told the kids to get up out of the cart. They didn't belong on the carts. It was causing, you know, turmoil and ruckus inside the Walmart, and it was dangerous. But you know how many people that these kids went past before they finally got to me? And I said something to these kids. We choose to ignore a lot of things because we don't want to, you know, start something, or we don't want nobody to say nothing to us, or, you know, somebody, a parent to come say something and step at us wrong. But look at what ended up happening because nobody decides to speak up about it. I'm sure somebody heard these kids or saw these particular circumstances and just chose not to say anything. I don't understand if this was a daycare being operated, I don't know how the parents didn't see the danger that their kids were in or the injuries that these kids were suffering or what. I don't get it. I'm going to have to, you know, read it some more and watch the story develop. But I'm hoping that this was not a daycare where these kids went to a different home every single day and these parents just continue to let this thing happen. If so, those parents need to be charged with neglect just as much as these the owners of the home were charged with different crimes. But let's
wrap it up with the NFL draft. The first 10 picks, Goff went to the Rams. He's a quarterback. Wentz went to the Eagles. He's a quarterback. Bosa, defensive lineman, went to the Chargers. Elliott, running back, went to the Cowboys. Ramsey, cornerback, went to the Jaguars. Stanley, offensive tackle, went to the Ravens. Buckner, defensive lineman, 49ers. Conklin, offensive tackle, went to the Titans. Floyd, defensive end, went to the Bears. And Apple, a cornerback, went to the Giants. I don't know why the Ravens passed on Buckner. I'm wanting to know that bad, to be honest with you. And or why they didn't trade up to get Ramsey or Bosa.
Well, I
don't know.
Real quick, go ahead. Well, real quick, when it came out of Buckner, I think it really came back to durability and consistency. Even though he has the skill set, when I saw a lot of the video, he kind of shut down on some plays. The talent is there, no doubt, but it shut down on some plays. And when you look at the history of the Ravens and their draft picks, we haven't had really any bust when it comes to draft picks. So, you know, in Ravens Nation is all about, and Ozzy we trust. And when I look at the guy we picked, Stanley, he's solid. Like, he doesn't quit. He doesn't take plays off. And he's teachable. He's coachable. And I think with the history of, you know, Jonathan Ogden, I think he's somebody who, first of all, we need to protect Joe Flacco a lot better than what we have. Eugene Monroe, he's an upgrade for Eugene Monroe in regards to age and, again, skill set. I think he's going to be an improvement over Eugene Monroe, and the durability is going to be there. I think Joe Flacco is going to be protected a lot better, and that's going to help our passing game, stretch the field, and open up our running game. And then later on in the draft, if you notice, we picked all defense. So far we just got two defensive ends. And later on, we'll probably get a deep back or a safety. So I think that was a good pick.
No, we took a linebacker in Ragland. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We took a linebacker in Korea.
Yeah.
And then we took a DL. And it took a defensive lineman in Kafusi.
The kid from BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you notice what our defensive schemes, there's a defensive end, I think, and a linebacker, right?
Right.
The kid from BYU was a defensive end. They're interchangeable. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably be playing up and down on the opposite side of Terrell Suggs. And or to back up Terrell Suggs, he's been injured, he's getting older, get somebody in the fold to replace him later on the line. So,
and that was my thoughts were these two cats were coming in to replace Doomerville and Suggs. Both of them are getting older. This would more than likely be Suggs' last year. Doomerville will probably give us another year, maybe two. Well, he may test the market again. I doubt if he tests the market again because he is older. But the price tag may be too rich for us to pay him next year. So I'm thinking they're bringing these two cats in to replace those two, and that's a good move because these cats are good at what they do. So give them a year of tutelage, give them a year of learning, and then they should be where we need them to be when they are truly called on to go full head of steam next year or maybe even the year after. So that was my thought. And, you know, T-Sizzle may give us 2 years because he was injured for the majority of this year. So he may give us 2 years this year and the next, which is even better because that gives those cats 2 years under that tutelage to really get to where they need to be and where we want them to be to go forward. The things that stuck out with me, though, was Hackenberg was taken in the second round with the 20th pick. And in the third round, Braxton Miller came off the board with the 22nd pick to the Texans. Now, if you look at Braxton Miller, Ohio State, former quarterback of Ohio State, if you look at Braxton Miller, dude, Braxton Miller really reminded me of, and still reminds me of, Steve Smith. He has that tenacity. He's nasty like Steve Smith. I thought we would have gone after him, to be honest with you, to replace Steve Smith because, you know, Steve Smith is going to retire after this year. 9 times out of 10, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm done. You know, no matter what we do in the playoffs, what have you, he's going to be done. He's been playing the game for a very long time at a very high level. It's time for him to sit back and enjoy his life. So I thought we would have gone after him because he's also a quarterback threat if we needed another quarterback. He do the wide receiver. He's played running back. He's played on a defensive end as a cornerback. So that dude can straight up play the game. And we could plug and place him into a lot of different slots depending on our needs and his development. So I really thought we would have gone after him, but for whatever reason, we didn't.
No, I think we did the right thing by using most of our picks so far on defense. Yeah, you know, our defense is definitely the Achilles heel so far with the Ravens, and that's straight foreign to us. So I think we definitely did the right thing by just picking, getting that offensive lineman that we need. And then focusing on the next few picks on defense. And I think we're going to do one more on defense before we go to any more offense, you know. And then next year we'll do some offense and free agency. So I think we had so far we had a good draft so far, man. But the story for me
go ahead.
No, I'm going to move on to the dude Tunsil, man.
Go ahead.
No, the story for me.
We'll end on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, Laramie Tunsil, man. This kid had a horrible night. some to his own fault, and some, you know, not to his fault. But it's a crazy story, and of course we got to keep watching because, you know, it's going to get bigger. Implications were in the NCAA violations while he was at Ole Miss that came out the night of his draft. 10 minutes before the draft started, there was a picture posted on, I think, Instagram with him having a bong mask on his face, and then the video surfaced showing it was actually him. He was questioned about that. He admitted that it was him. Then after he was drafted, he had another interview where it was a question raised about him taking money from his coach. He admitted that. Boom, that's instant NCAA investigation probably going to get started because of that. Then stories came out about domestic violence, about he and his father getting into a domestic violence issue. He was protecting his mother, beat his stepfather up. So they think his stepfather posted the video. And madness, man. So he dropped from potentially number one pick. He could have been the number one draft pick all the way down to 13. So that's a loss of between $12 and $16 million. And in one part, I feel sorry for the kid because he owned up to everything that came his way. So it shows he has a lot of character. But he is a kid at the same time. He is still young and immature, so he's made some mistakes that he has to kind of own up to. But for somebody to actually go on and post a picture of this kid ahead of time and try to sabotage his draft, you know, I can't know who said it on our first tape the other day, but normally you see people want you to make money so they can take money from you. Stop you from getting money. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people try to stop kids from making it to the NFL. Most of them try to pump them up and set them up and do whatever they can illegally, unethically, or immoral to make sure that these guys make money. But somebody's trying to take money from this kid, like, or stop him from making money. Like, that's amazing to me, man. We live in a sad world right about now. But the kid has it like a champ, and I hope that he takes this early lesson and does great things. I'm worried about him being down in Miami with Sue.
All the weed.
all the weed that he's down there in Dominican with Sue. But hopefully, you know, he can look at these things and he has some people in his corner that's really going to support him and deter him from any further issues, you know, from servicing. But interesting draft so far. A lot of twists and turns and plots and stuff like that. So, you know, the draft is getting better. It's not as boring as it used to be.
Final note, fam, before we get out of here. Jay-Z and Beyonce created Lemonade together. Don't get all up in that mix. It is not that damn serious. You all have a great week. You all be safe. Fam, I holla.
I holla, baby. One.
Peace.